Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 4, and we had read the first four verses. And if you'll remember, the Lord is speaking to Moses and giving him commandments if the children of Israel sin ignorantly. And we've started with the priest, and the priest that's been anointed to serve the Lord, if he sins out of ignorance or unintentionally, he's to bring a young bullock. And we're reading about these different procedures that this priest is to do. So let's start, please, with verse 5. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Well, we need to pay attention to this because there's some distinction here between the protocol for a priest sinning, for the congregation sinning, for a ruler sinning, and for the regular, just what we'd call a common person sinning. And what you find here, if a priest sins, then and obviously this is not sinning by rebellion, okay? This is unintentional, doing something and then later on realizing that you've sinned, okay? Then whoever was the acting priest, the consecrated priest at that time, would take this animal's blood into the tent of meeting, the tent that included the holy place and the holy of holies. And he would go in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, not going into the holy of holies. But he would sprinkle 7 times that blood before the veil. Then he would put blood on the horns of the altar of incense. Now there's a distinction here. When you get to the priest, and we'll find this also when the whole nation sins, in contrast to what the a ruler would sin or a common person would sin, then he used to take the remainder of the blood, the priest, and pour it at the base of the altar when a priest sinned, the base of the brass altar, okay? He applies the blood to the horns of the gold altar, but he pours the rest of the blood out at the base of the brass altar. Okay?
Okay.
Now, another thing I want to point out, or you think when we get a few chapters ahead that we're saying the same thing over and over again. What we're looking at right now is what God is telling Moses to do. In other words, this is mandate, and then there's a protocol that goes to that. Later on, we'll see basically saying the same thing where Moses is actually implementing this, or the priests are actually implementing this. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you have to keep that distinction. One is the instruction. The other is carrying out the instruction, and as he carries out the instruction, he's given the detail of what he's doing. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. We saw that pattern, if you'll remember, with the tabernacle. Very good, y'all remembered. All right, verse 8. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering.
Okay, now it's very specific with the burning on the brass altar. Never burn anything on the gold altar other than incense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about the fat, what I felt like the significance of these things, the cleansing the internal part is like our pointing to, all this is pointing to, is to where we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, the internal part,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then we sacrifice the carnality, the fat, which is, stores and releases energy. We don't touch that. That's turned over to God. This is burnt up on the altar. Okay? So all this is pointing, I believe, to the cleansing and the eradication of the sin of a believer and the righteousness that's going to be or was or has been accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll also see different animals used. Different animals used for, like, the priests, the Israelites, the common person, the ruler, is using a different animal. And I'm assuming there's some significance to that in the value of the animal. Okay?
Verse 11. And the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt.
So if the priest sins, the offering that is offered is consumed, it's not eaten. If the priest sins, you don't eat that. It's a sin offering. And so part of it is burned on the brass altar, and the remaining parts of that animal is taken out and put on, in a ceremonially clean place and placed on the wood and totally burned out. Okay? And here again, to me, is the significance of that is the consuming of the carnality, the burning it up, the getting rid of it, the putting it to death. Okay?
And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done someone against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord.
So the priest and the nation, they have to bring a bull, okay, young bull. Well, how is it that the whole nation would commit sin? We were talking about this earlier. One of the easy things to see in Joshua's day, when they go up against Jericho, the first city to take in the promised land, God said, all right, this is devoted to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not to take anything from it. But we know that a man named Achan took things he wasn't supposed to, unbeknowing to Joshua or the nation of Israel. So when they go up against Ai, they're defeated. Joshua doesn't understand what's going on. He's on his face before God, and God tells him to get up. He said, Israel has sinned. So what one man did brought it on the entire nation. Because the nation was given that command, okay? And so they had to get rid of that violator Now, we don't get all the protocol that was followed after that, but according to this, not only was Achan to be destroyed, but also there had to be a sin offering offered for the nation because the nation had sinned. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that's not fair. God's smarter than we are. And he knows what he's doing. Okay? But that's just an example of what God would call the nation sinning. There's many other ways, I'm sure, that a nation can sin in not doing what God's called them to do. Maybe through deception. If you're doing it through deception, it's not rebellion, you understand? You follow me in this?
Right.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The woman obviously sinned in the Garden of Eden. Right? But she did it through deception. Sin did not come in the world through the woman. The Bible plainly states that sin entered into the world through one man.
Yeah.
That's why it had to be a man that was offered as a sacrifice, Jesus Christ. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Man sinned. God held the male guilty. Now you'll find in places where there's the protocol is it must be a male animal.
Yeah.
In other places it can be a male or female.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some specific things there to where God is holding the male accountable, so it has to be a male acting as that sacrifice for that sin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nation sins, you had to do the same thing that you did with the priest. You had to take that young bull's blood, sprinkle it before the veil that separated the holy place from the holy holy, put the blood on the horns of the golden altar of incense, and then take the remainder of the blood and pour it out at the brass altar.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of that? I don't know all the meaning of that, but it appears to me that a priest and a nation is affecting God's worship system. Okay? And so then the whole thing has to be cleansed. I want you to think about this. Adam's sin reached to heaven because Jesus had to take his blood and apply it to the mercy seat, if you will, in heaven,
mm-hmm.
not on earth. You with me?
Yeah.
And so when God's representatives, think about it, the priest was a representative of God, and the nation of Israel was a representative of God mm-hmm. as a whole. They were to be distinctly different, okay? Then it's misrepresentation, it's affecting what God has designed to take place on earth. So there had to be a cleansing, a reconciliation, and the only way that can be reconciled through blood, pointing to what Jesus was going to do. Okay? As our high priest. We are a nation. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
We're called a holy nation, a peculiar people.
Right.
Distinctly different. So this, I believe, is pointing to what Jesus was going to do for the body of Christ. Okay?
And did you notice how we read how the elders of the congregation had to lay their hands on the head of that animal? So you have the representatives of the nation taking responsibility and identifying with that sin substitute.
Same way with the priest.
Yes.
Everybody, we mentioned this earlier. But when you brought that sin offering, trespass offering, excuse me, you had to identify with the one being killed because it was you being killed. The innocent, the animal hadn't done anything.
Right.
So you had the innocent dying for the guilty. And so the animal is acting as the guilt. The guilt's placed on the animal, and the punishment for guilt of sin was death. Okay? But you had to identify with that. That's why we have to identify with Jesus in sin.
Yeah.
It can't be, well, he did it and that's it, so everything's taken care of. No, you have to identify with him as your substitute.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're still holding to your sin.
Verse 16, and the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now, we just mentioned this as far as how it's done. But one other thing I want to point out is God is being so specific in his instruction.
Yeah.
That he's making sure, you know, the incense altar is in the holy place and the brazen altar is out in the courtyard, where you enter into the temple or the tabernacle complex, okay? It's the courtyard.
And he shall take all of his fat from him and burn it upon the altar, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for the sin offering. So he shall do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them.
You see, the protocol here is following the protocol for the priest was to be burnt on the brass altar. And then in the next verses, you find that it's the same thing. He's to take it out of the camp and burn. If you want to read that.
Yes, sir. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation.
So this is called a sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to talk about this a little later. Trespass offering, sin offering. They're so closely related. But there's, I think, a distinction I feel like the Lord has revealed to me that I'll share with you, okay?
In verse 22, when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering.
All right, so this is dealing with the unintentional sin of a ruler. He's not bringing a young bull. He's told to bring a kid of the goat. But note this, it's a male goat, right?
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned this earlier. Uh-huh. It had to be a male. It had to be without physical defects. In other words, you can't use a substitute that's defective. It has to be one that's completely whole, completely clean. And so here again, he's to lay his hand on the head of the goat, identifying with the goat, and that goat's to be slaughtered at the place where they slaughtered the offerings for the burnt offering before the Lord. And this is called a sin offering because it's the violator sinned, okay? So it's a sin offering.
And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering.
Now notice that this blood is not carried into the holy place. This blood is not sprinkled before the veil. This blood is not put on the altar, golden altar of incense. But if a ruler sinned, then the kid of the goat's blood was brought and put on the brass altar, and then the remainder was poured out at the base of the altar. You see the distinction?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't give you all the detail of that other than God is making a distinction between the nation as a representative and the priest as representatives and representing God. Okay? The ruler represented the nation. The nation represented God. You with me?
And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven.
Now, boy, you mentioned that. I jumped ahead of you a little bit.
That's okay.
Okay, so we get about the fat being burned now on this brass altar.
And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned.
So to make atonement for the offender, the fat had to be burned on the altar. And here again, if you remember, we talked about how the fat stores and releases energy. And so the energy that sinned needed to be burned up, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a significance to this. That's why God, by law, the law of Moses, you couldn't eat fat. That was reserved God. God said, I don't want you participating in that. Okay? It's not your energy. You do things out of my energy, my spirit. Okay?
In verse 29. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And then in 30, and the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar.
So,
I read it to 30.
I'll turn too many pages.
No. You're right. You're right. That's right.
Okay. So, if an Israelite sins, right?
Well, you're talking about the priest. Let's talk about the blood. He was to put that blood on the horns of the altar.
Yeah, but we talk about a ruler sinning.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about an Israelite sinning.
Yeah.
Who's not a priest. He's not a ruler.
Right.
This is just an individual, okay?
Yes.
Now, it's a different animal that he brings.
Thank you.
And so when he becomes aware, he's to bring, note this, it's a female.
Yeah.
Kid of the gate. But it couldn't have any physical defects because it's a sacrifice for sin. And so he lays his hand on the head of this gate, and it's to be slaughtered at the same place where the burnt offering was slaughtered. Now here again, God has a designated place, and you don't do it where you want to do it. You do it where God wants it done. You understand? You have mm-hmm. to follow the protocol of God. And this, I think, is where we get in violation as ministers today. We don't follow the Word of God and do things God's way. We think we have a better idea than God. Well, that just shows how stupid you are. Anybody that thinks he knows more than God. And so God said that animal's to be slaughtered at this place. You don't slaughter it anywhere else. It's at that place. Now to me, he's revealing a principle here. of how important it is to follow the protocol of God. Otherwise, that sacrifice is not accepted. You do it God's way, or it's not accepted. And here, pointing ahead, we'll do it God's way, or we won't be accepted. Do you understand? And so, excuse me? Do you need to get ready? Go on reading before I jump ahead of you?
I think I jumped ahead. Did I skip some? Or are we good? We're good. Okay, verse 31. Is that right?
Okay. So 30, the priest takes the blood of the sacrifice, dips his finger in it, then puts the blood on the horns of the brass altar, and then the rest of blood is poured out at the base of the brass altar. Note this blood is not carried into the tent of meeting. It's not sprinkled. It's just applied to the brass altar. Okay?
Okay. And the priest shall take, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him.
Now, I'm going to show you something here to me that's very significant. The priest is playing a major role in this offender's sin being forgiven. In order for that violator for the sacrifice to be accepted as a sin offering and him forgiven, the priest has to do everything exactly like God has said. Otherwise, that's not accepted. I'm telling you, ministers today can have the blood of people on their hands by not doing things God's way, not being truthful with people, not telling them what the Word of God says. If you don't present salvation God's way, they're not saved. There's more to it than making a confession. You understand? You've got to get the truth of what it takes. And you don't tell somebody they're saved. I'm not going to tell you repeat after me. If God is dealing with your heart, I don't need to tell you what to say. I need to tell you get your heart right with God. You just give your heart over to God. Like the old publican slapped himself on the chest and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer God hears, not the parrot prayer. Not repeat after me prayer. You follow the protocol of God and it's in your heart. You believe in your heart. Then your mouth acknowledges what you believe in your heart. But just making a confession is not getting the job done. And as ministers, we have to tell people the protocol of God. We have to tell them the truth. We have to preach the word in accuracy. Otherwise, people die in ignorance.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, they die in sin. They die in sin. I think about what God told Ezekiel. He said, I'm making you the watchman over the house of Israel. You see the enemy coming, and you don't warn the people, they'll be killed. But I'll require the blood of you to be on your head. If you warn the people and they don't listen, then you release yourself, but the blood will be on their own head, they'll still die in their sin. And I'm telling you, we have to be straight up with people. We have to be honest. And we have to tell people, even if they get mad at you. You understand? We have to tell people the truth. When you see the enemy activity in the nation, when you see the enemy activity in the city, when you see the enemy activity in the church, you warn the people of the enemy activity. Now, it's up to them what they do with it. But by all means, do it God's way so they don't fall prey to Satan and sin. Okay?
Okay. Verse 32. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering.
And here again, we're basically repeating some things. But God thought it so important that he gave specific detail for the priest. He didn't say, well, I'll do like we do with the priest. He gave specific detail for the nation. He gave specific detail for the ruler. And he gave specific detail for the individual. To be certain that we know that the exact protocol of God, you do it this way. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
You do it this way.
Mm-hmm. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar.
You know, I had an interesting phone call just today. And I'll be very, very vague with this, but a person asking me about some things, you know, to preach. And my reply is, what does God give you? Preach what God gives you. Don't give the people what they want. Give the people what they need. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And if all you're doing is trying to appease the congregation, you don't need to be ministry because you do them an injustice. Tell them the truth. Do you love them? Then you'll tell them the truth. Do you want to please them? Then you love me, or you love yourself more than you love them. If I'm trying to keep you happy, that means that I like me more than I like you. Just trying to keep the pressure off myself. But if I truly love you, then you'll lay down your self-life to help the person. Isn't that what Jesus did for us?
Yes.
That's what he expects us to do for them. Just thought I'd throw that in. I get interesting phone calls.
Verse 35. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him.
See, he has to do the protocol for the atonement so the man's sins can be forgiven. Okay? We have to do the same thing. I'm telling you, there's so many people deceived today. It's not even funny. Trying to appease a generation rather than to tell the truth to a generation. You know the old thing is God loves you as you are. Come as you are. I agree with you. God loves you. Come as you are. But by all means, don't stay as you are. You come to God for change,
mm-hmm.
not for affirmation. And people are looking for affirmation rather than change. And I'm telling you, if you're truly born again, you will have a nature change. To where you're not carnal, always following the flesh and doing what you used to do. Now, where people get mixed up is they think of sin as something gross. You know, well, robbing a bank, you know, murdering somebody, or going out here carousing and all this type thing. But what about missing the mark? Mm-hmm. That's basically, that is the definition of sin, is to miss the mark. So if God says, do it this way, this is the mark, that's your bullseye. And if you do it some other way, you sin. You miss the mark. And to tell people there's another way than Jesus is lying to the people. And you cause people to miss the mark. Well, you live the best you can, you know, just do good deeds, you know, give to charitable organizations and, you know, be kind and all this. And, you know, God will accept you if you're good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough deeds. You understand? Let me tell you what God accepts. His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you want to be accepted, it will be in the Beloved, not outside of Him. My acceptance with God is through Jesus, not through me. You with me? We have to tell people the truth. Do it God's way. Amen? Amen. All right, time's up here. We'll have to stop and take a break, and we'll pick back up with chapter 5. Was that what it is?
Yes.